Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back, Mr. Doyle, to this episode of Blue Collar BS with Brad and Steve, and you are?
Steve.
Okay, you passed the test.
Just wanted to check.
Knew who you were.
Yep.
You know, we were talking a little bit pre-recording here as to what we should be talking about, and I guess here's what I'd like to do today, Mr.
Awesome. Let's go.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you're going to answer them. Kind of a truth.
All right. I did say surprise me. Wow. Okay.
We're gonna go down that path, and you know, don't hold back.
Because
that's what we share with our audience. We share our authentic selves. We share all of our. We just share because that's what keeps people engaged. So, I want to go back a little bit in your life history.
Okay.
Not back when you were a wee little boy, but you know, back when you were, you know, kind of younger guy.
So yesterday, got it. All right, I'm in.
Yeah, yesterday, a day younger. Talk to us as you've gone down your journey of being in corporate, right, working in construction, and being in corporate side of things in the manufacturing world, and then now doing what you're doing today. What were some of the greatest lessons of you working in the field in the home building and construction space? What are some of the lessons you learned then when you were your 22-year-old self or whatever the hell it was to today that are impactful and making huge changes in clients and for those you interact with?
Man, I got to think. That's going to hurt. So, back when I was, I know, right? So when I was 15, I had to be driven to job sites to basically kind of like a yard attendant, lot attendant, you know, make sure the job site was clean. And then, you know, if I could do that, then I could learn how to swing a hammer, you know, climb up on the scaffolding, putting up sheeting, waterproofing, things like that for siding, framing and things like that. The biggest thing I would say right off the bat from what I'm recalling was was the owner of the company at the time. So, framing company, he spent the time to show me what I was doing wrong, but he wasn't doing it in a condescending way. It was more like, hey, I need you to focus on doing it this way so I don't have to come back and repeat what you've done. Okay, cool from a not doing it perspective, but it was just taking the time, really understanding like, oh yeah, he does a lot of stuff, but he doesn't know what he doesn't know. So I need to help him.
Well, it's sort of like what your wife tells you.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
Sorry, I left it out there.
That was really low-hanging fruit. Yeah. That was really low-hanging fruit. Way to kick the berries.
Well, you know, we had that conversation last episode. You were touching. So let's touch that.
Yeah. So, you know, that was like the very first thing. Some of the other things that I learned was, you know, just the environment, the type of people I was never exposed to.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened too. That never happened either. I would say there was a time more of the forgiveness side. When we fell through the roof, we were ripping off a roof and we ended up putting inadvertently two skylights in to a house.
Hey, guess what? Bonus, you get skylights.
Pretty much. I went through the kitchen and the owner went through the bathroom.
Oh, you're going to love it. We're going to do this for you, no charge, because
there's, you know, things like that that you learn. But in reality, you know, at a high level, you're really learning about, you know, working with people that you may or may not know. You know, most of the people, would I have hung out with them after work? No, I did not. I was, you know, 15, 16. Doing that, but you get to learn about just different people, different perspectives, different way of life. And at the end of the day, you could actually step back and go, shit, I did this. I actually built somebody's home with my hands. I put a roof over somebody's head with my hands.
Or I fell through.
One of the two. I mean, at least I never fell off the roof.
I just go through it.
But yeah, I mean, that level of, you know, at 15 or 16 going, wow, we just built somebody a home.
So how did that piece of it influence, you know, unfortunately you went to that University of Michigan place.
I did.
With that big,
I did.
That big old M.
Yeah, not whatever. Walmart Wolverine. We ain't no Walmart Wolverine now.
It's Walmart. Yeah, I know. You finally beat Ohio State. Now everybody's all excited. Ooh, yay. That's okay. I don't like them either. So we're on the same page from that perspective. So you take that experience. Yep. You go down this. You made the decision to go down a more of a white collar path, yep, so to speak, into your engineering world and those type of things, and go out into the world of automotive and truck production facilities and teaching. And did those people experiences allow you the opportunity to put together the things you did inside your corporate gig and facilitate what's going on today with you and wanting to be so diligent in understanding behaviors and communication preferences and that emotional intelligence side of the world? Did those experiences then influence that desire today?
Yeah. And I would say where that came in to play is, it's these taking something from, let's say, you know, when I first started in the automotive, it wasn't jumping right into the white collar space. I was a technician. I started out repairing stuff, building stuff, building equipment, facilitating how things actually got done, working on improvements, you know, and yeah, the degree came along for the ride. Okay, great. But it's really that fact where you're starting again, building something with your hands, working with people, developing.
Show me your hands now. I just want to make sure we can see them.
It's a capo.
Yeah.
Got me. Caught me playing with a capo. So,
continue. I digress.
Anyways, so you know, starting and building, you know, process, whether it's, you know, it's workflow, it's with people, it always starts and ends with people, and it starts and ends with a relationship. The thing that I enjoyed the most was the most difficult task to accomplish. Give me something that people struggle with, whether it's, you know, figuring out how this machine is working, why is it not working, to, hey, let's talk about people's behaviors and how they interact and get them to work better together. And how do we do that? To me, all of those things, from building something physically, now we are talking about social, emotional well-being of people, but still, how do we integrate that into building a better life for, whether it's the blue collar space, white collar space, it's for each other.
Next question might be the last question. Don't know.
Ooh.
We'll see how long this goes. As you look back, as we sit here today, July of 2023, mm-hmm, right? We met nearly 7 years ago in December of 2016.
Yeah.
In that nearly 7 year period, now you've had a chance to reflect on what you're doing today, what you've done in the past. What are your top two or three things that you are most grateful and proud of that you have been able to do with your life so far?
Shit. You had to ask that, didn't you?
Okay, good. Great. Go to the bathroom. One. Awesome.
Yeah, I have not pissed myself yet, so that's great.
Low bar.
Low bar. I would say number one, there's been in the last 7 years a lot of continued learning and personal growth. Right? It's the grateful for the family to allow the personal growth, the family and the friends to help with that personal growth. But it's really the second thing is the relationship build, the relationships that are made that far expand what I ever thought was possible. And the third thing, honestly, is the impact that we've been able to make to help people look at, you know, where they currently are today and where do they want to be and help guide them to that path. And we're not talking, you know, on a life, quote unquote, life coach type perspective. It's just overall from business and their personal, like, where do they want to be and help guide them with, you know, more of a, like a plan, a strategic plan to get there. For me, those are the top three things. And it's all around people and having that mindset that doing it alone is tough. And
so I got the fourth question.
Okay.
Coming here. So you keep talking about people.
People.
But you're such an asshole. Why do people like you? I understand that because you wrote me into it. I'm at a miss.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, yeah. Even my brothers would say that. They'd be right there with you.
Right. Exactly.
All right. I didn't hear anything because I'm an asshole. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Now that we've established, you know, we have a common playing ground of understanding.
Right. Are there any, going back to your truck automotive days, is there any particular story or mentorship or program things that you have accomplished with people, for people, that is worth sharing with our audience to let them know that there are people out there that are willing to support you. There are things that you can do. You don't have to have the struggle to, you know, do these things, the decisions in your own hands many of the time. Do you have a story that you'd like to share here quickly at all?
Yeah. I mean, I've had several employees that they were brought into the business by others, and they were viewed as low performing individuals. And so they specifically were brought to me from HR and said, "Hey, do you have a place for these people? They're good people. They're just not in the right roles." And I've had other people where it's like, you know, this role isn't right for me. And it's really just having the honest conversation and the understanding from both parties of, okay, what are your strengths? What is it you like to do? What are your motivators? What are your driving forces? What gets you motivated?
Brought to you by TTI.
Brought to you by TTI. Contact us for more info. But it's having that conversation, being willing, being open, being, you know, even the humility of, you know, there's things that I've done that not proud of, had to learn from, had to embrace the suck bucket for a while. And I had wished at some point somebody would have sat me down to say, "Hey, what drives you? What motivates you? And how can we help you get there?" And so that's what I did for several of these individuals, where it's like, yeah, like we can do anything. We can figure it out as long as somebody's willing. And so some of the stories where working with some professionals that moved out of purchasing and into project management, they were way much better at project management and seeing things strategically and how can we integrate different systems and get different people involved. And they flourished. They went on to become directors in several companies. After I had left there, they progressed up and moved on. Again, I've had individual contributors as technicians and engineers go on to be, excellent, excellent subject matter experts where we could just hone and craft their skill for what they wanted to do. They were so technical that they were in roles where it was like they couldn't flourish. So let's move them into a role. Now, did we create a role for them? No. We looked at what is needed. We looked at the needs and said, hey, I need this based on what it is that you do and how you do it. I believe you would fit at it and you will flourish at it. So I've had several people become, engineers of the year just because of how we moved from them. They were struggling. They went from non-performers to extreme performers, most talented people. And it truly does come down to taking time to look at how that person operates, how do they function, what are they good at, and focus on their strengths.
So all of you millennial business owners that might be listening out there that want to get out of doing all your day-to-day work and say, hey, I'm going to take my best production guy to turn him into the manager. This is a buyer beware moment.
Absolutely.
For you guys. Need to make sure that that's what they want to do. My youngest son, he has made it very clear at this point in his life, he does not want to take a management path. He wants to take the oak tree subject matter expert path right now from that perspective. Will that change in 3-4 years? Maybe. But as of right now, at a very young, just out of school, Gen Z, he wants nothing to do with management leadership at all. Zero, zip, not a none. And he got that experience in robotics back in high school to realize that no, I don't want to manage people. And because it could have been very much one of those, hey, high performer, here's what's going on. Hey, now you're going to go lead this team and it would be an absolute shit show. And he knows he doesn't want that to happen because of what the experiences he had through high school, through robotics, through other activities to have him know that that's where he wants to be. And just being able to ask your employees those questions and being open about it is truly important. So, Mr. Doyle, I want to thank you very much for this very special episode.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
So thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open about it and a good sport. Yeah. And we will conclude this episode of Blue Collar BS. Until next time, folks, I am Brad.
I am Steve.
And we will talk to you guys soon. Right, thanks.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.